with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Just about 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and a perfect opportunity today to check in with Declan Carroll, who wins last night at Sam Houston, Palazzi, who we were all over. And it was a thriller, one of several races that had, you know, tight finishes where the camera needed to be brought in. And boy, he hit the wire, and I turned to Tina and I said, oh, I think he's too late. I don't think he got up. But boy, I guess I should have just left it to your good judgment. Declan Carroll, congratulations.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. I'll be honest, I didn't know who won.
There's a lot that went on in this race, and that included an issue, you know, near the top of the stretch, and a bumping incident that I imagine, you know, you might have, if you didn't end up winning, you might have called for an objection. But I was a little worried that, you know, you kind of waited maybe a couple of strides too late to get going. Talk about the plan going in and the trip coming around.
Yes, you know, it was nice to get the opportunity to go. It was first mentioned to me from Mark. They were thinking about going, and they were kind enough to ask me to go. So he was the main reason I was able to take the opportunity to go to Houston. And then we're lucky enough to ride a few others. Palazzi was a horse we've liked for a while. Obviously, he came off a really nice maiden win. He had a very rough trip in there. I think he came from about 13 off it, and about a half-mile pole, he made a move, and he was able to keep it, sustaining it, and that's when we knew he was a nice horse. I got to work him in his last couple works, and he's been working unbelievable. I think he's a horse going forward, he's going to be a serious horse.
It sure feels like it, and you know, this was a group, you know, these three-year-olds, and especially at this time of year, you know, you're kind of shuffling the deck, and you're not sure, you know, where everybody is in terms of their development. And you got lightly raced horses, or, you know, horses that like him that, you know, had just broken his maiden when he got on the turf, and he made a significant forward move. Sean Bridgman had ridden him both in the maiden breaker and in the race before that, where Mark was looking to get him on the grass. And it's become pretty clear that, you know, with these two performances back to back, that, you know, he's wanted the grass all along.
Yes, and you know, the way he trains in the morning, I think that's the way my dad started seeing that here down at the fairgrounds. And you know, the time back in November when they tried to go, obviously it came off, and he's fourth by two, but we knew he had more potential than that. And once he got on the turf, well, it's been a game changer.
Well, and he's a Pioneer of the Nile that is out of the Indian Charlie Mare Kindle. It was a $510,000 Saratoga yearling, and so had every obligation, it seems, to try to come through and you know, be a stake horse. And here it is. I mean, this race not yet graded. This, you know, depends on what happens moving forward from here. This might go a long way, and it's obvious that the horse that you beat, that you caught here, Excess Magic for Calhoun, feels like, you know, he's a horse that is, you know, stepping forward as well. And actually the number just came back. They just posted 82 buyer for Palazzi and Excess Magic.
Well, I think it's an improving number, and yep, from there he should be able to move forward. That wasn't a bad group. Mr. Fletcher had a nice horse in there as well that looked like he's on the improve. And So we'll see how everyone comes out of the race, but hopefully we can, next on the resume, we get a graded stake for him.
Well, and for you too. I mean, talk about winning a, you know, it's a $200,000 stake, so the biggest paycheck yet.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, Mr. Cassie and Mr. Oxley, to get the opportunity to ride for them is huge, and for my dad to trust me to go there as well to go ride those horses, it means a lot. You know, without the horse, you can't do much. All the few stake wins I've had, they've all been for Mr. Cassie. So he's been a huge player in my career, and you need someone like that to get you going and to carry you forward.
Well, you know, you also you had four mounts yesterday on that stakes card, and Steve Asmussen had you ride Henley's Joy, and Mike Stidham had you ride Kingpin in the turf sprint, and then of course also No Mo Temper for Mark in the Jersey Lily.
Yes, and for Stidham's Kingpin, Mr. Stidham, you know, the horse is, I don't think he likes the ground too much. If you see, he's kind of bobbling every few strides, and he did kind of run on again at the end. Obviously, it was a step up in class, but going forward, I think he'll be okay, and maybe even stretching out. We'll see. And then Mr. Asmussen to Henley's Joy. That's a very tough trip to have. You break from the 12 going a mile and a half. He's a horse that's usually more forward. We couldn't really do that yesterday. But, you know, I think hopefully going forward, he'll be back, you know, hopefully a better post, and I think he'll be just fine going forward.
It's been a good week, actually, because if we go back to the action at Fairgrounds, I think, was that Thursday that you got that elusive win on Star Kodiak for Chris Davis?
Yes, that was very nice. Nice to get the year started with the win there. It was kind of a rough start, but now hopefully we can keep things moving forward. As you know, it's always important to start the year right.
Well, and, you know, to that end, had gone, I don't know, he had gone a couple dozen, three dozen or so, looking for that, you know, for that first win of the year, and you'd had a hatful of seconds. You'd had like 15 seconds, I think.
Yes, you know, we were, they're all hitting the board. They're all running well. And, you know, back on the comp day, we had a few seconds that were just tough beats. But there's some nice horses out of those races that we like going forward.
Well, and I can mention one specifically, and even though she got beat, you know, three lengths, Super Sensational was, you know, getting underway late, to be second, to Charlie's Penny. Going back to that Silver Bullet day.
Yes, and now, you know, that was a, look, we broke from the one hole as that first turn got very tight. We kind of got squeezed out of there. I would have liked to have been more forward. I think my filly, if we had been a cleaner trip, I don't know if we'd have beaten the winner. The winner was won easily that day, but I think we'd have been, you know, a bit closer. And but I think I think the next step for her is going to the Rachel Alexander, and I'm going in there with lots of confidence.
Nice. And, of course, this is Mrs. Weber's from last year. We talked quite a bit to Mark Cassie about Super Sensational, who, you know, so good you know, on the way to the three-year-old season. And this was the dirt debut. And, in fact, you know, it's funny, you mentioned the one hole. That was, you know, part of the storyline here with Palazzi. I mean, stylistically, and you know, Palazzi's already a colt that, you know, that is going to come from off of it, but you still have to work your way. You know, this was a field of 10, so you still have to kind of, you know, as you're going around, how often are you looking to kind of, you want to save some ground, but at the same time, you don't want to leave yourself with no options.
Exactly. Yesterday, talking to Mark before the race was Plaza, he said be forward with him. He said, you know, you don't, and when you break from the one hole and you stay far back, all you do is get shuffled, and then you're forced out the back. Next thing you know, you have too much ground to make up. My dad says all I do is draw the 1 or 12, so I better get used to it. But you know, there's nice horses that are, you know, they kind of take care of themselves. You just kind of have to navigate your trips. On the turf, for me, it's not a big deal drawing the one because usually it opens up down inside. And what do they say to win turf races? Save ground.
No, no doubt. But you know, the being, you know, being in a position, you know, to you know, strike and to make the run, and it was pretty clear on the backstretch and going into the turn that you had plenty of horse, and then it becomes a decision. You know, do I kick outside? And you ended up kicking outside, and it felt from the limited turf race, you know, during the stakes sequence, it did feel like, you know, the turf course had an outside flow that when you come off that turn and you have the momentum, that, you know, being outside was preferable.
Yes, and I learned that from the first race I rode for Mr. Sidham there, Kingpin. The inside was chewed up pretty significantly, and for my personal opinion. So if I could get out there, which I did for Fawzi, that was the ground I wanted to be on. I didn't plan on losing the stick, but he took care of business for me.
It's pretty funny. It came down to you and you know, Miguel Mena made the trip over, and I should mention that Rick Mocklin, you know, administering the Randy Romero award, gave it to Miguel, and one of my favorite riders, Miguel Mena, and he had a very successful trip. Did you guys travel together to Houston?
We did indeed. I know he went 4-for-4 the day before. And then he started the win off there and with fast mode for Joe Sharp. And I said, I think he may clean up this card here today. So it was a good ride home. It was a good flight home.
Nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about, you know, about the rest of the winter and, you know, what you're getting on and, you know, how you look to, you know, keep advancing, you know, your development as a rider.
Yes, I plan on staying here throughout the rest of the meet here at Fairgrounds. I have a few nice 3-year-olds coming up, hopefully, for Mr. Cassie. Next week we have one, a filly named Earthstrike. She's over from Ireland. Joseph O'Brien had her. And we're looking to, she's finally, hopefully gets in, hopefully no rain. Unfortunately, she's been unlucky with rain and having to scratch, but she's a horse looking forward. I think she has lots of potential. Regarding as me, I just hopefully can finish out the meet strong here going forward. Who knows where we'll end up. But, you know, it says you got to go where the horses are and where your business is. As you know, once you get back to Kentucky, it's a whole different colony and group. Everybody, that's all the elite. So we'll figure out where we go from here. But hopefully we'll finish off the meet in the right way.
Well, and in fact, let's take a look. Let's do that. I want to see what, you know, we're always looking for some insight here. And let me pull up the assignments, because one of the beauties of riding in New Orleans is the early draws. So I just, you know, just had that. Just talked. Yeah, exactly. Just talked to Dallas. Looking, let's see, coming up. You mentioned Earthstrike. That's the allowance race on Friday.
Yes. And Saturday, a horse named City of Mischief, and a New York bred. He'll improve, I think, off his last run there. He's just very green, but he had a nice horse, and so hopefully he's purchased as a yearling there in Saratoga. So Phasic Tipton, I'm not sure, but we like him a lot. He's an End of Mischief by Storm now. So we look forward to him.
You've also, if we stay on the maiden, City Mischief goes in the fifth race. That's on Saturday for Cassie, but we'll stay on the maiden front. How about you've got one for Jimmy Baker on Sunday, Run Cookie Run. First-time starter.
Yes, Run Cookie Run, actually. I've been breathing her last few times, and she's shown potential. She's done everything right. She wouldn't be if you've seen her in the paddock, you wouldn't think she's the most stunning to look at. But I think as time goes on, she's going to fill out. We're looking for from a big run from her. And it's always nice to ride for Mr. Baker and do well for him.
Well, we love Jimmy Baker. And this is actually a four-year-old making the first career start and has certainly had a nice – actually a nice string. December and January works. Hasn't missed anything and got a little gate blast going back to the other day, middle of last week.
She worked really well from the gate on the field track. So if it rain or if we're on the turf, either way, I think she'll be in good shape.
Well, who else here? Let's we got a nice variety. Joe Sharp's got you on an allowance runner by the name of Offspring. Ron Fichot has got you in a nice $52,000 optional claimer. Strong Beauty and a couple of claiming options. Brett Brinkman, Norm Cassie's riding you in a maiden claimer. Gastown, Cubs win for Brinkman and Danny Besançon. Silent Cry.
We're getting a variety, and obviously nice to ride for Norm. The horse we ride for him, Gastown in the maiden, she just finished second, so hopefully we can get through this time now. And Ron Fichot with Strong Beauty, she's had a couple tough beats here we've had, so we're looking to get off the mark as well. So hopefully we can have a good week going forward once we're out of quarantine on Friday.
Very good. Well, I'd forgotten about that. You were gonna have to quarantine a few days. What are you doing? What are you gonna do to? You know, you've got to be working out in the apartment, right? What are you? How are you keeping?
That's what it is. It's we're doing a home workout. I have to go for a COVID test in a little bit today, and then I have to get another COVID test on Friday to get cleared to ride for Friday. So. It stinks at the time because you miss out going out in the mornings and stuff, but we have to do what we have to do to keep safe, and hopefully we'll all get through this soon.
Well, don't worry. The $10,000 check will make these few days feel a lot better.
I think Dad's gonna have that locked away in the bank. I don't know if I'll get to see that.
So you're like a child actor. You got Davey and Kim are handling the finances.
Yes, I don't have too much control on those. I get told when I'm allowed to go out and not. So it's best off.
That's great. What you know? I suppose you heard from everybody, right? I saw what your mom had to say, and what about your sister?
Yes, I have my sister texting me. I don't get to see her much. She's down in Wellington right now with her show horses.
Right.
So I don't get to see her, but I talk to her a lot. So where she's doing her thing, I'm doing my thing, and if we're on a horse, we're happy.
Well, the whole family, it's all horses all the time when it comes to Team Carroll, and whether it's Declan and of course Aisling and Kim and Davey looking after, you know, the Cassie runners in New Orleans.
It's what we love to do, and it's we're selfish for it, but you know, it's all we do, and hopefully we can keep doing it for a long time.
Well, and you know, on that topic, I mean, you haven't had any, you know, how's the weight situation, and you know, have you grown much over the last, you know, last 18 months?
I'm 5'7". I ride at 114 pounds usually. I can tack 117. Around there, I'm very adamant about working out and my running and my diet schedule. Something I take very seriously, and I think as more jockeys learn now and up and comers are learning how important nutrition is, because I think before it wasn't such a big thing. As you know, some health habits probably weren't the best choices for some, but I think now as we go, more jockeys are becoming healthier, and it's nice to see that, because to ride at your best, you have to be healthy and strong.
A couple of notes here. I'm looking statistically. You're 30 plus away from already riding 1,000 calls, which is pretty amazing how quickly they've amassed. And you're 7 wins away from 100, and it's been 2+ years, right? Almost 2.5 years.
Yeah, 2.5 years, and you know, I don't look at stats too much. I think that just kind of drives you nuts. I talked to Tyler Gaffalione the other day. He says all you can do is ride your horses with confidence and ride to win. The stats, if you look at that, that's just going to drive you nuts. Tyler's always been a very good friend and supporter of mine. So it's when you get feedback from somebody like him, that means a lot and kind of gives you confidence as well going forward.
Wow. Excited as can be for you, and keeping a close eye and looking forward to already graded stake placed and multiple stake winner. Now we'll get that graded stake winning jock, you know, added to the profile as well. It's coming soon.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you for having me on, and hopefully I'll be on here soon again.
Well, I always look forward to it, and always happy when there's something good happening for Team Carroll, Declan Carroll, everybody who we've literally, you know, I haven't been around forever, but I've been around long enough to see Deck from a little tot and who was a terror around the barn.
You're right
to
about
say
that.
The least, right?
You're right about that.
Too funny. You can follow Declan Carroll, DCJock1, on Twitter. And a big smile. And certainly if you saw him come back to the winner's circle last night, late yesterday afternoon, big smile there in Jack Oxley's silks. Declan, stay safe and, stay isolated. And I'd love to say I'll see you maybe Louisiana Derby week. I don't know yet, but if not, we'll see you in Kentucky.
Sounds good to me, Steve. Best to you and Tina.
Declan Carroll, everybody, DC Jack 1. Pretty cool. And many more to come. It is amazing. I can't believe that he's already ridden 1,000 rides, 37 away, and close to 100 wins. But he really was piling up the seconds until this past week. He was, I talked about this with with Chris Griffin, and I talked about the jocks at Sam Houston, but it was hadn't really noticed at Fairgrounds. I haven't looked. They've had such weather, which isn't unusual in New Orleans to have the wet weather. But I hadn't really noticed that Declan had that rough start. So good for him to, first break the ice the other day and then a big stake win in that Texas Turf Mile. Case, let me take a I didn't think I was going to take one, but let's take a quick break here. We'll come right back, and we'll see about trying for a couple of different potential visits. We'll see. All right. Back after this. At the Races. Weekend recapping going on. SiriusXM. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. About coming up on 20 into hour three, and fast moving Monday after a big weekend. And of course, one of the things when it comes to the eclipses that, you know, when they do it on the Thursday, and you know, then you got the Friday preview, and Monday we got so many, you know, race recappings to do, kind of gets lost in the shuffle. So the opportunity to kind of put them together, pretty opportune as Bob Baffert joins us. And of course, on Saturday in the Robert Lewis, which Bob wins again and does it with the increasingly emergent Medina Spirit. And that comes on the heels of the Horse of the Year and the 3-year-old announcement and sprinter announcement from the Eclipse. Bob, a collective congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. I thought maybe he'd lost my number. He hadn't called me in a while. I thought maybe even my wife asked me, did you piss him off or what's going on? He hasn't called you. I said, I was wondering about that. But thank you. No, it was a great Eclipse night. It was nice to see all those horses crowned champions, and that's what it's all about. We're very proud of our year that we had, and if I could just have that year every year, I'll take it.
Well, and the authentic storyline, it had a lot of tentacles, most notably for B. Wayne Hughes, and you repeatedly have cited what it meant. You've really done some nice things for a lot of different owners, and to do this for him seemed to really resonate with you.
Well, I mean, think about Wayne Hughes. He's very bullish. He's got a passion for the game. He loves it. He had Omaha Beach and looked like he was going to win the Derby with him, and just the wheels came off the wagon and couldn't run him, And so, things like that happened. But for him to come back and win it, I've known Wayne since I first got in the business, since I was wearing a cowboy hat, and he was always so kind to me. I had like one or two horses, but he was always very nice and kind, down to earth guy. And so to win it, and I know him, his daughter Tammy and Eric, her husband, and they just, Seth, this whole team. I've known him forever. And then to win it, it was just it's great. You love when your friends win.
Yeah, and you can tell that, I suppose the story, I haven't really talked much about the My Racehorse aspect, but it made a lot of people happy and surprised. And that's an initiative of Hughes's as well, what he's done with the micro share concept.
No, it was a brilliant idea because so many people. The only way you're going to attract fans, they're not going to come to the races. You have to attract them another way. It's very, for people, the young people to come in and start gambling on horses is very intimidating because they don't know. So by bringing that in for a minimal amount, you can actually get involved and get the the feel for it, and then start getting the passion, and you get the love for the horses. And we need to make racing cool again. We have to make it so it's cool to own a racehorse. Right now, it's not cool to own a racehorse. We've had a lot of bad things going on in racing, but now, you know, we just need to make things like it's fun again. And then, you know, and during the COVID, it would have been so great without the COVID. Can you imagine that? All those people there? Oh, man, it would have been unbelievable. But I think it's a, you know, Wayne Hughes and Michael Behrens, what they thought of, I think it's a great idea. And and it gets you, they feel that, you know, those horses, when that authentic turned for home in the Kentucky Derby, they felt, well, like I felt, what we all felt, you know. And so that's a, it's priceless, okay? It's a priceless, you know. And for $200, you can feel that way. It's crazy, you know. But it's I think it's a great idea, and hopefully it continues on.
Well, three-year-old champ and the horse of the year. We should include in the conversation in terms of wrapping up 2020, Gamine's championship as the sprinter, and strong placement as a finalist in the three-year-old filly. And I suppose, Bob, as good a time as any, you know, you were quoted, you know, quite a bit about what a, you know, what a good year it was overall. At the same time, you obviously, you go back to Breeders' Cup week, you addressed, the issues that really kind of dogged the barn during the course of the year. And Gamine has, you know, she's kind of the flashpoint, you know, regarding the DQs. Talk to this a little bit.
Well, I mean, fortunately, the horses that she got DQ'd, she didn't win those races, and you know, the other races she won, but there were all those cases, they should have been dismissed, you know. And there's, and but, you know, at the same time, you know, you have to be really careful now, because now the contamination, you know, we saw what happened to Gamine and Kentucky Oaks, the same thing that happened to John Gosden. He's one of the, you know, greatest trainers in Europe, and he had the same issue, you know. And so they just don't have the science down yet, you know, like you follow the guidelines and you still get in trouble. And so, you know, things, racing has to work on that. And hopefully maybe this new integrity act, you know, they're going to bring a solid, you know, they know, you know, like there was never any intent to do anything wrong, malicious or anything like that. And so, and I'm very conservative. And that's why it was just surprising these things came up. And it's just embarrassing. You don't want it to happen. And but Michael Lunn, I mean, his speech is probably one of the best speeches in the whole Eclipse night. I mean, he really appreciated it. He's got the passion for it. And I'm so glad that she won, because she's one of the greatest fillies I've ever trained or seen going one turn. I mean, the mare is unbelievable, and she's coming back great. So I'm happy for that.
Finally, on this topic, do you feel that the, you know, the issues, whether Gamine, Charlatan, and some of the residual legal wranglings regarding the Justify Scopolamine case, do you feel that it kept you from winning as trainer of the year?
I don't think so, because then when I Justify won the Triple Crown, they didn't give it to me. You know, so I don't really think so. Right. I think maybe I needed one more champion, you know, four wasn't enough, but it's one of those things. I understand. I'm cool with it. You know, I'm fine. As long as my horses, it's more important that the horses get it. And that's my main concern is the horses, you know. So they're like my children, and I was so proud of them. And, you know, I just feel I was good with it. And, you know, Brad Cox had it. You know, he had a good year. I mean,
yes, he did.
Deserved it. He had won four Breeders' Cups, and, you know, he had a good year. So, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, and we should mention, because I've overlooked or not included in this, Improbables championship as older dirt male. What a nice career he had.
No, you know what? He really, I'm just glad they kept him training an extra year. It was nice. I had some really nice older horses. Maximum Security, you know, After that race, he popped a splint, and I think that might have bugged them during the race, whatever. But you know, I had some really good old horses, but you know, it was a bad year to have older horses, you know, because everything was crazy, you know. But you know, it was when we closed down here, it looked like we weren't going to run again, you know. It
right
back in, you know, February, March, whatever it was,
March, yeah.
Know? And so I was really, and then I just feel fortunate we opened up and got to run again, and because it was looking pretty gloomy. But all in all, you know, you got to take the good with the bad, or you know, and just but we, you know, we finished up the year, and you know, like, you know, I had my good horse get hurt earlier in the year, looked disastrous there for a little bit, but we, you know, Authentic, he just brought it all together, Gamine and Improbable, and just, it was just a great year.
Well, and you know, got a that story actually that you is the perfect segue to start this conversation about 2021, because you Maximum Security retirement and Improbable, Thousand Words and McKinsey, you have stars like that all go on to, you know, their second careers at stud, and you know, you have to adjust. And Nadal, you know, you mentioned the early season injuries, Uncle Chuck as well, we should slip him into an early season injury, and Charlatan too, and you know, Charlatan got back just in time to get the grade one in the Malibu.
No, I mean, you know, we're lucky to get him. You know, he got him back. Now he looks great, and he gets to run another year, so that's great. You know, we still have some good ones in the barn, and hopefully developing some more for the, you know, hopefully the Derby Trouble will have some in there. You know, it's still a ways off. We have some nice ones, but, you know, I never get to, you know, until the last prep, you can't count on anything.
Well, let's talk about the past couple of weeks and talk about Saturday. First of all, you got to be thrilled with the way Medina Spirit has come to hand.
Yeah, you know what? He's a horse that sort of like he's a gutty, but sort of like the real quiet. You know, real quiet never got really the respect early on because he only cost $17,000. Medina $35,000. So a lot of people, yeah, you know, it's hard to get on board, but that day he ran second to Life is Good, who I think is an extraordinary horse, you know. That was a big race, and the other day, that's not his style to be on the lead. He'd rather just, if he would have been an outside post, he probably would have won that race by 3-4 open lengths. I mean, he's that good a horse. So, he showed that he's gutty. He went really fast fractions, and that's not his, he doesn't want to do it that way. And still, he handled those horses. Those were good horses, and he wasn't really that tired. So I think he's shown that he's a horse that, you know, that's going to be, you know, as long as he stays healthy, that's, he should be in that 20 horse game.
You know, you look at, you mentioned having to basically attend the pace, and you know, this all gets back to how often you talk about drawing the rail, and you know, you basically had this dictated to you a little bit, and Abel Cedillo, who's certainly riding fabulous, you know, he's ridden him all three starts, but you look at these splits, 22-4, 46-3, and look at where Parnelli and Wipe the Slate, you know, they ended up beating 20 lengths. And Medina Spirit, you know, obviously they slowed down late. It was fast early, slow late. But he was, you know, he just kept withstanding the challenges.
No, he was actually turned for home. You know, I thought he was waiting on horse. He's still a little green, but I think it was a very impressive race to, you know, and those two horses he beat, those are good horses, and they should move on. They'll be in the gate, you know. So it's satisfying, but you know, we still have to keep him healthy. Last year at this time, you know, I thought I was sitting really, really good, and then Charlton, Nadal, they got hurt, and then, but luckily we had Authentic, and then they then they canceled everything or postponed everything. And so that was like, hopefully they don't do it this year. So,
well, so far, so good. What are your thoughts on where you are with Spielberg out of this Saturday?
Spielberg, you know, that horse, for some reason, he didn't, he got that dirt in his face. He didn't like it. He just never picked his feet up. He was very disappointed. He came back fine. You know, he just never really, you know, he just threw in a bad one, you know, threw in a clunker, and he was never into the race, never wanted any part of it. Pratt said the dirt hit him, and he tried to save ground. He just never wanted to run. He just never, just, you know, they'll do that to you, you know. They'll throw a clunker, and I was disappointed, but he came back well, so we'll find another spot for him, but he didn't try.
Stay on the three-year-old front for a minute, and there were some, you know, there were some good performances. There were a couple of probably surprisingly frustrating performances last weekend. Fenway, you know, there was all kinds of hubbub. What happened there?
Fenway, I wanted to give him a race, and he wasn't ready to go a mile. And I threw him in there to give him a race sometimes, and like I just worked him 10 minutes ago, and he looked unbelievable. And so now he's ready. And the thing is, these races, you got all these maidens, you need to get starts into them. And he went real fast early. He got tired. He was supposed to get tired. He wasn't ready. He was like, you know, he went really fast early, and he wasn't ready for that. But he came out of it great, but now he's ready. And, you know, you can't be afraid to give these horses starts and get them beat. You have to get races into them, and then now he's ready. But that will happen. I told everybody that, look, he's going to need this race definitely. I would have loved to run in 6 furlongs. I'd love to have a maiden race every week. I wouldn't have done that, but we, you know, there's just, I see it all over the country. There's a shortage of these three-year-old races. And just like Todd had to run his horse in a stake, and usually Todd likes to run him, you know, a couple times, and then boom. And you could tell that his horse got really tired, you know. And so that's what we're up against. And you go to the September sales, and you see these horses bringing 500, 800, 900 million. Like, and then you go, like, where are they? You know, where are all these horses? You know, there's, but they're not around. And so it's really tough, you know. So, but that's what we're dealing with right now. So any chance you get to run, you better run your horse. You know, that's what's come to.
Well, the flip side of Fenway needing the race, Concert Tour didn't need the race. What do you got there?
Well, I mean, Concert Tour was, you know, if I would have run him a mile first time, he probably would have gotten tired. But he came out of it. You know, he's a nice horse. I think he's a horse that I'm excited about. And he should like 2 turns. He's ready to go 2 turns. So we're excited about him. So, you know, I think the second race is so important, Steve, and that's why, you know, they have to show it the second time.
How quickly will he see stakes, or do you have to just kind of?
You just sort of just play it by ear, you know.
Yeah.
Really, one thing about it, you know, you just keep him healthy. Right now, keep him healthy, find a race for him, and then come March, and that's when you start really getting serious with him, because that's when you got to start looking for points, you know.
Well, 88 Buyer in that debut for Concert Tour. So a very good starting point. And, of course, people are listening and they're clamoring to know about Life Is Good and how things are going for him.
Life Is Good is he's going to work today, and he's doing really well. I mean, he's extremely fast horse. He's very, very fast. Like, he's got a authentic type, you know, speed, and we're just trying to harness it a little bit. You know, we just got to slow him down just a tad. You know, we're working on it, but he's just brilliant. He has brilliant speed, brilliant, brilliant. He's a, and it just shows the Medina spirit, you know, when he came back to do that. It just shows you what, you know, really, I mean, Life Is Good. And, you know, it's, he does everything effortless. He just skims over the top of the ground, like authentic. That's what made authentic so tough, is that he was, he just hardly touched the ground. He just skims right over it.
I know some people are listening, and they're going to say, ask him about Bezos, who ended up as apparently a surprise to you as much as anybody as a future wager participant.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody just jumps on horses, you know. I mean, the future wagering sort of like, I don't know, sort of ridiculous, you know, horses 15, 20. They should all should be 60 to 1, you know, at this stage. And Bezos just actually, he just worked right now. I mean, I worked him with Fenway, and Fenway was like, outworked him a little bit, you know. So he's, you know, a lot of these horses, but he, Fenway had him out, so he's a lot, you know, he's a lot fitter now. But I think he's a nice horse. I think when he goes long, he's going to be a good horse. But they have to, you know, get the show in the afternoon.
Going to also ask about some of the female variety, because beginning of the month, Calypso won that Santa Ynez, and we didn't get a chance to talk.
Yeah, she's a, I don't know how far she wants to go. I'm going to run her in the 1 mile state coming up here, and we'll see. I think there's some Mandela's got that good D'Adoro filly. She's going to be tough. Mandela's got some nice fillies. So we'll see if she can handle that. You know, it depends. It's all about pace with her, but she worked today. She worked great. And we'll see if we can stretch her out a mile.
I probably shouldn't do this, and this is a you know, asking somebody about a horse that is no longer in the care, but you made me think of it. The horse that Rudy Brissett sent out Saturday, you mentioned Todd, but the Tarantino, why did he not get a dirt start, Bob, before he was sent east?
Tarantino, he's a nice horse. He really struggled with our deep racetrack. Struggled horribly. And that's why I put him on the turf. He likes a firmer, faster track. And a lot of horses are that way in California. They struggle. Renith is the same way. I took her to Oaklawn. She ran off the screen. So some horses, they just struggle with it. And he really struggled. I mean, in the mornings we'd work. I mean, he just, but on the turf where it's firmer, He loved it, and the other day it was firm, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of quality, and he ran a great race, you know, so
he was good
with the gang.
Yeah, he was good, and actually that's one less horse, you know, that you have to worry about keeping out of the way, and it's nice for Rudy Brissett to get a horse like that.
No, he does a great job, Rudy.
Let me ask, too, the Charlatan situation. And I did see over the weekend where the Korean team and Brad Cox are, you know, looking at the chance to go, you know, to the international race. And you are obviously as well. And that could be a heavyweight bout, Nixco and Charlatan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I really don't look at who's running. I just worry about my own horse because it's a challenge. You know, you got to get there and things got to go right. It's tough. It's not like you're just shipping in a couple hours and running off the plane. You know, they get there. It's totally a different thing. Like Dubai, you know, it's different. You know, we've been there last year. We know more about it. So we're excited about it, and it's gonna be a hell of a race. It's always gonna be a good race. Anytime you have 20 million, it's not gonna be easy.
Anytime, it's only been once.
20 million, 12 million, whatever. But there's no easy.
Love it. Yeah, not too often. One more to ask about too. When are we gonna see Varda again?
Varda, you're not going to see her for a little bit. She had a little bit of a setback, so she won't be in the Oaks. She's going to need 45 days off. So,
oh, that's too bad.
I'm missing time with her.
She just worked last week, right? She came out of from the work.
Really? I mean, I was going to run her in the mile race, but then she came up a little setback. But no.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
But she'll be fine. She'll be back.
How about the American Pharoah as time goes by, the one at the end of last year?
Yeah, she's, you mean as the long time goes by, I've been waiting and waiting on her. And she's a big, beautiful filly. And I just always loved this filly, and I've taken my time with her. And it took a long time to get a two-turn race for her. I had to wait months until finally one failed. And so she's just really a filly that, I mean, she's probably the best bred horse out here in California. You know, she's just... Yeah. You know, Take Charge Lady and big, tall, really coming around. The other day at her race, was I knew once we went two turns with her, she's just going to be a monster, you know, and she showed it. So we're just, you know, let her, you know, she's going to be the, hopefully she's going to be the queen here going two turns. So I'm excited about her.
Well, and we should, we really should make sure everybody knows what's going on here. You just said it, you know, this is the daughter of Take Charge Lady by American Pharoah for Coolmore. And that performance maybe 2 weeks ago now, 99 buyer. So a big breakthrough move forward for her on the two turns. And the, you're right, the distaff division out there, pretty open for an incursion, and this four-year-old should be in everybody's watch list.
That was the best mare bred to American Pharoah that year, I'm telling you. And she looks the part. I mean, American Pharoah, she's gonna really do some big things. I you know, we've been taking her time.
I'm
with
excited.
Her. Coolmore's been really great. You know, I've been very patient with her, and but taking her time to grow into herself, and she just looks excellent. She just looks great.
You know, and on that same, I think, I don't know if it was the same day or it was the same weekend, I think. What about the Street Sense colt that seems to have put things together, that mastering?
Yeah, he's coming around. I had to wait on him. He's a horse that was just, he's just immature, and so I turned him out. There was nothing wrong with him. I just stopped on him, you know, gave him, you know, he wasn't enjoying his work, and brought him back, and now he's filled out and changed, and he's still maturing. I'm taking my time with him, but I think by the summer he should really be coming around, you know, in the next couple of months. And so
nice.
I was happy with his win the other day. It was just really impressive, because he never looked like a winner any time in the race, and then he pulled it off. So that was very encouraging.
We should also, you know, since we're kind of jumping around on some of the different, you know, two to threes and so forth, felt terrible about the Princess Noor situation and having her career cut short.
Yeah, that was a shame. You know, that she was so brilliant, and still scratching my head about the Breeders' Cup. I really thought she couldn't lose that day, but things happened. But she was, you know, they're going to breed her to the best stallion in America, so, and she's fine. So she was you know, she just had, when once you get a little, she did something to her tendon. She, I don't know if she hit it, she, it wasn't a bow tendon, she ruptured it or something. So but she'll be fine.
Well, Bob, this was terrific to catch up, and you know, so much success overall when we look at the difficulties of 2020, and off to an awfully nice start for 2021. I wish I could say, you know, that I'd come out for, you know, for the next round for the San Felipe and Big Cap week and so forth. But it's right now, things are just so difficult to make any, you know, any plans. I mean, everybody healthy, everything okay on that front?
No, everything's pretty good. You know, you hear a lot of things in California. Fortunately, the racetrack, we've been really fortunate here. And, you know, San Diego does an unbelievable job of keeping everything, you know, sanitized, and everybody's careful, stays away from, you know, the racetrack's probably the safest because it's open area, you know. So, but, you know, we're hanging in there, and, you know, hopefully the vaccines will come quickly and get that done. And so, I've been very fortunate.
Did you and Jill drive over to Dodger Stadium? And
well, Jill's too young. I went over there the other day and I got mine.
Okay.
She's just a baby. She can't get hers for a while, you know? So, But I got mine, and so I'll get my second one in another 20 days, so I'll be good.
Excellent. Well, Bob, I appreciate this. Great to catch up, and congratulations to everybody that received trophies on Thursday, and the good weekend, and we will we'll talk soon.
All right. Well, thanks for calling me. Thanks for checking in, my man.
I appreciate it. Bob Baffert, everybody.
All right.
There it is. Thanks. I think you got caught up on almost everything. That was a half an hour well spent. And I'm just looking at my list. I don't think there was anything we missed. I think we pretty much got right. I'm sure I'll hear if there was something I missed. I'm sure somebody will let me know. All right, let's take the last break of the morning, and we'll come back and wrap up the first of a couple of days' worth of weekend previewing, or weekend recapping, I should say, at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Just about 10 minutes to noon on this Monday. And I want to mention a reminder. They've already sold out not that you had to buy tickets, but they've already sold out the reservations for this afternoon's rally at Keeneland regarding the HHR equipment. And I checked in the last hour with Adam Koenig, and you may have seen also online or, you know, on news reports. And of course, I go look for it, and I'm going to not be able to find it there. Oh, for goodness sakes. the state Senate in Kentucky. Is tomorrow apparently in being introduced. I had the whole article. Senator, I think it's Steve Schickel. Is it Steve? I think it's Steve Schickel. Is introducing out of the Kentucky Senate, and it'll be filed tomorrow. And Adam says that it should. Make it out right out of committee by Thursday. And the House side of things is getting their quote unquote house in order. So they're doing everything that they can on the legislative side in Frankfurt. But 6 o'clock tonight, this afternoon, TVG apparently is going to be streaming the presentations, the rally. And so you could catch it that way. And I'm poking around looking for my now it's buried going all the way back to Thursday or Friday. For the address. I'll tweet it out. All right. There's just too much stuff on the desk. Sorry. Everything starts out the 3 hours. It starts out organized, and then it just disintegrates into into mayhem. So stuff gets. Filed it. And then what'll happen is after I finish at noon, I'll start to thumb through and reorganize everything. And as I do that, the things that I was looking for will then become apparent. And then we'll try it again. We'll try it again for tomorrow, right? Yeah, this is hopeless. All right. Well, took care of that. And Shug tomorrow, I mentioned, right? Shuggy tomorrow, and Andy Serling for the Tuesday get together, and probably Dr. Allday as well. So we'll save that, and then we'll talk about greatest honor and the amazing family. Usually when we talk to Shug about his family's the horses that he trains, it's the Phipps and Janney line of broodmares. In this case, of course, that Tiffany's Honor, the dam of greatest honor, a daughter of Better Than Honor, who became just a font. There was a chance between Rags to Riches and Jazzle and Casino Drive. She had the chance to have three straight Belmont winners. And you know what? Speaking of Better Than Honor, John Sakura is going to join us perhaps tomorrow. It probably will be tomorrow, actually. Reached to John the other day, and John sent an open letter out to breeders regarding World of Trouble, and I said to John, I said, why don't you come on and flesh out your thoughts, because it was something we talked about for the first year that when World of Trouble went to stud, and John trying to remind breeders that the horse has a complete resume, and that there's plenty of reason to include him in your breeding plans. So John Sakura tomorrow, and we can actually catch up with John on a variety of topics as well. The latest. I think the farm is pretty much, I don't know how much more work there is. And I didn't get there in September, or November. So maybe this year for the as we get closer to the trips to Kentucky. A couple of other results. Let's do that. We got about a minute or two to close out the morning, and obviously the chance to talk to Bob Baffert about Medina Spirit, but we haven't really mentioned Express Train's performance, which was really good in that San Pascal. Juan Hernandez aboard for John Sheriffs and the CRK team. This is still a lightly raced four-year-old, eighth start, and he's now got 3 wins in 3 seconds. Only two miscues, and one came on the turf when he tried the Twilight Derby and just sort of paddled around a little bit, didn't really offer much of a rally, but he was really good on Saturday, and a triple-digit fig for him, too. Express Train. This is the Union Rags out of Mineshaft, bred by Dixie Anna. It was $500,000 purchase. So now he had been grade one placed, of course, coming out of the good performance behind Charlatan. And now he's a graded stake winner. And he'll become a major player for the big cap. And you actually heard, obviously, with Dallas today, right? With Dallas's visit, he's talking about Tale of Akati to head to potentially the big cap. So that's starting to come together for next month. Tis a Magician. So, and in fact, Tis a Magician makes me remember that the brother, how'd the brother do in that maiden race? At Gulfstream on Saturday. I've got plenty of the other results from Gulfstream to talk about tomorrow too. We got to catch it. We still got plenty more to do. Where is that? There it is. Avenue was second. That's right. That was the Pletcher Eclipse Lepenta. It was a good second. He chased King of Dreams. That King of Dreams ran very well at a big price, 16-1. The Juan Avila, Air Force Blue Coat. Ended up basically maintained the lead all the way around. Avenue second at 14-1. How did he go off at 14-1? I missed this race Saturday. We were still basking in the afterglow of Kid Chocolate's fabulous win. Yeah. Nice. These two races had a bunch of connections, because King of Dreams happens to be Victoria's Ranch, the ball player, right? Yeah, that's the King Guillermo, who did not run well on the trip out west. That's right. Yeah, so one positive, one negative on that front. Oh, this was a full 3 hours, and I can hear my own voice. we're gonna collapse past the wire. Thanks to Nick Tamaro, start us off. Dallas Stewart this morning as well. Terrific visit with Mig and with Bob Baffert as well. So Declan Carroll. Fun visit. Good luck if you're playing today. Obviously, limited options on this Monday. Back with you tomorrow, 9 a.m. at the races. Thanks, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.